Between 1947 and 1949, the Commonwealth Government had embarked on a campaign to promote the immigration program, widely circulating articles via local newspapers which emphasised the contributions made by migrant workers to the country and to industry. These stories praised the Europeans' capacity and willingness to undertake hard work. There was, however, very little information given as to where these people had come from or the horrors they'd suffered during and after the war years in Europe. Few Australians, or in fact few of their own countrymen who had arrived in Australia before the war, had any real understanding of these people's experiences. Sale in the late 1940s was a town of 6,000 people, and the surrounding towns of Hayfield, Maffra, Rosedale and the Latrobe Valley towns were smaller still. Prior to this time, the Gippsland population was predominantly rural and decidedly Anglo-centric. It had expanded temporarily during the war years with the presence of military personnel, but this did not challenge people's customs and values in any way. Therefore, the effects of a sudden influx of more than 600 migrant families from backgrounds unimaginably different from their own and swelling the population of the town by around 10% was at the least startling. Suddenly, clusters of people gathered in Raymond Street, speaking a dozen different languages and asking for goods in the shops local people had never heard of before. These newcomers were different, colourful, and expressed their emotions openly. They were hard-working, and they were here to stay. Local people's initial suspicions and unease of anyone different subsided as the novelty of their arrival wore off, and these new Australians settled into the community. At the West Sale Migrant Centre, those with small children did not get so involved with the social life of the camp and were content to have their husband's company, but many looked forward to the picture nights held there. James Drummond, the headmaster, arranged with the State Film Library for films to be sent regularly, and he had pressed camp director William Alexander to make a projector available. While some of the films were educational, a lot of people didn't understand the dialogue, but all were easily carried along with the action and drama of the Wild West. Young mothers were often of two minds as to whether they should leave babies asleep in the huts to attend a film. Brunhilde Danicheski was one who remembers becoming increasingly anxious about her child as the film progressed. Eventually, she crept out of the darkened hall, as quietly as she could manage, back to her hut to find her baby peacefully sleeping. Returning to the hall, she found to her amazement the film had stopped and people had gathered in groups, standing outside the hall. When she asked her husband what had happened, she was informed to her great embarrassment that people had seen her leaving the hall and feared that something was wrong, perhaps a fire, so cleared the area. Maria Rudovitz Carrington also remembers the movies.
Which was good. And then on Thursdays, it was a movie night where you paid, what was it, threepence initially, to see a movie, like ordinary movies. But the Tuesday were, you know, like learning about germs.
And not to leave pork.
Yeah, and I remember this particular, the red corpuscles and the white corpuscles were running around. You know, I do remember them.
Did you learn useful things like shopping English or cooking or
no.
Dressmaking?
No, because... Yeah, I beg your pardon. In the camp in West Sale, we had that dressmaking teacher, and we made a little baby jacket. I've still got it. It was just a piece of flannel cut out, you know, the little matinee jacket, and we had to blanket stitch it around. Yeah, we learned that.
At school.
But by the time we got to the convent, you only learned to embroider.
How were you treated when you came to town? Was it okay, or were you sort of treated like the newbies,
the new Australians?
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to be awful about Sale because I love the people and everybody.
But it's important we know how you. I mean, it's a different generation now. Yeah. Things have changed.
No, I think it's because I think the problem was really average Australian didn't travel out of this country those days. So it was very parochial, you know? And I mean, it took probably 6 days to get to London in 1948, so people didn't have the money to travel out. So anything different was a threat. And particularly people, war-torn people that came back, they were even scared themselves, you know. They were terrified. They were still, their memories were so vivid. So I think it was a little bit of a fault with the Australian government that they didn't enlighten the, you know, population at large to have some sort of more feeling for these people, you know, because they were scared, and they were also traumatized, you know, by all sorts of, you can imagine yourself, you know, sitting out in the field and there's bombing. You can't imagine what it's like, you know. I was sitting with my mum in the bunker, you know, at five. And you know, you feel the earth shaking. Now, for years, I was terrified of storms. Mm. You know, I didn't know why was I terrified of storms until I had this flashback. Mm. And that's what it was. It was the bombing.
Maria Rudovitz, now Maria Carrington. Background information from the book We Came With Nothing by Anne Synan.